Indeed, we, as God's children, as God's people, should endeavor to bear the cross that we might win the crown. There's a song that articulates another message, very similar to the message that is expressed in this song, simply, no cross, no crown. The concept is, the idea is, in order to achieve the desired success, sacrifices have to be made. Sometimes this particular motto is expressed in graduation services, indicating that if you want to graduate, if you want your diploma, you have to work hard for it. You have to be willing to endure hardship. You have to be willing to dedicate and devote yourself indefatigably, untiringly, in the pursuit of your goal. No cross, no crown. No hardship, no challenges and difficulties. No real achievement or accomplishment. So we want to be willing to bear the cross in the interest of securing the crown. Good to be back this evening. Good to see each of you here this evening. I see a few that are fanning. I think that signifies that you're not as cool as you would like to be. But you decided, because of your commitment and because of your wanting to please the Lord, that you would come back this evening, that we might continue and conclude our worship to God this day. We appreciate Brother Clifford leading us in our singing. We are grateful for the scripture lesson that was read by Brother Eric Prowell. And we are likewise thankful for the meaningful prayer that was led by Brother Drexel Green. Glad Brother Drexel is feeling better. Yeah, he was a little under the weather this morning, but it's good to see him. We ask you to turn in your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 8. Leviticus chapter 8. We had the scripture read from Leviticus chapter 8, verses 18 through 24. What I'd like to read now is Leviticus chapter 8, just verses 22 through 24. In the passage beginning with Leviticus chapter 8 and verse 18, one ram is described, and the sacrifice that he made is explained. But we are concerned primarily in our lesson this evening to the second ram under consideration, the other ram. When we look at verses 22 through 24, we see some significant things. And I'd like to use as the actual title of this lesson, a triple charge to men of God. A triple charge to men of God. And we want to apply the lessons that we glean from this passage to the lives of Christians who live and serve and operate in the kingdom of God today. So we first consider a sacrificial ram. We consider a sobering ritual, and we also focus finally our attention on a significant ritual. Look with me, please, to verse 22. And he brought the other ram, the ram of consecration. When we think about consecration, we think about something that is devoted, something that is declared to be sacred. In this case, the ram was devoted to God. The ram was devoted to a special purpose. He was declared to be sacred. So they brought this sacrificial ram, the ram of consecration, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands upon the head of the ram. Aaron and his sons were the priests, and of course Aaron was the high priest, and in the days and years to come, the high priest appropriately would come from the family of Aaron. Of course, all of those that led in the worship of God came from the family of Levi. You know, in our lesson today, we learned that Levi was the tribe from which Moses came, to which Amram, Moses' father, and Jochebed, Moses' mother, they both came from the Levitical tribe. So they were Levites. And the high priest always came from the Levitical tribe. They always came from the specific family of Aaron in order to function as a high priest. They were subordinate priests, but they were meaningfully involved in the service of the Lord. And in consecrating this ram, Aaron and his sons laid their hands upon the head of the ram in the process of consecration. Then we look at the sobering ritual. They took this ram, they slew him, and Moses took of the blood of it and put it upon the tip of Aaron's right ear, the tip of his right ear, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe, the big toe, of his right foot. And he brought Aaron's sons, and Moses put of the blood upon the tip again of the right ear, upon the thumbs of their right hand, and upon the great toes of their right feet. And Moses sprinkled the blood upon the altar round about. Now you might wonder, what significance does this have? What is the meaning? What is the purpose? How does this have anything to do with us as Christians today? Look at the significant ritual. He took the blood and he placed the blood on the tip of the right ear. The right was always considered to be more significant than the left. Of course, you have left-handed people, but you have far more right-handed people. signifying the importance of the right hand, we think about people. My brother Abraham used to always refer to one of his brothers as, "That's my right hand man." And you've heard that expression, "That's my right hand man," signifying that he was a man that he trusted, that he worked very closely with, that he could depend upon. He was his right hand man. Also, when we think about right, you remember the story that Jesus told, or the description that he made of the judgment in Matthew chapter 25. The goats were placed where? The goats were placed where? The goats were on the left, but the sheep were on the right. I want to be on the right side. I want to be identified with the sheep and not the goats. Jesus, when he ascended to heaven, he took a position on the right hand of God because he occupies a very vitally significant place in God's kingdom, in God's program. He administers his leadership and headship over the church from the right hand of God. So this signifies the importance of the right hand, the tip of the right ear, and the big toe of the right foot. This was undoubtedly intended to signify that they should dedicate, that is, Aaron and his sons as priests, that they should dedicate all their faculties and powers to the service of God. Although the right hand is mentioned, the right foot is mentioned, the right ear is mentioned, nothing is said about the mouth or other faculties that are possessed by men. Their ears were consecrated to the hearing of the word and the study of the law. It's interesting that in Revelation 2:29, the record says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." It was important that those to whom John wrote, that they would be willing to hear and would lend a ready ear to the message that came from God. We have been consecrated totally. All of our faculties have been consecrated that we might listen attentively to the word of God, that we might adhere to the teaching offered by God. Let every man be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Let every man tune in. Let every man tone down. And let every man sweeten up, as it were. But we focus our attention on the marvelous ability that God has granted us, that we might be able to hear, that we might be able to listen. A friend of mine just recently was stating that if I had to choose between sight and hearing, if I had to be deprived of one of my senses, either sight or hearing, I'd prefer to lose my sight than my ability to hear. Now, some of you might not choose that. If you had that choice to make, you might not choose to keep your hearing and to relinquish your ability to see. It depends upon how you think, what your orientation is. Truth be told, I would like to keep both of mine. But if you had a choice to make, would you choose to retain your ability to hear over your ability to see? It is vitally important that we be able to hear. Receiving communication from God and from His Word. This is a great gift, a blessing of God. And we still can't fully explain all that is involved in the process of receiving sound. Of course, now some people receive a number of unwanted sounds and unwanted communication. Or let's say unneeded communication in there through the ear gate, through the sound passages. But we should all be open to and desirous of hearing the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We have the tendency to abuse this marvelous and wonderful capacity with which we have been endowed by God. See, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. One of those wonderful gifts and perfect gifts is the gift of hearing. Use it to the maximum benefit. Don't abuse your ability to hear, but use it. Lend an attentive ear to the Word of God. And hopefully we can lend an attentive ear every time we have an opportunity so we can learn more of what God would have us to do. But not only should we lend an attentive ear, he also placed some blood on the right thumb, the thumb of the right hand of Aaron and his sons. Their hands were to be devoted to diligence in the sacred ministry and to all acts of obedience. Holy hands dedicated to the service of God. Working hands, pure hands, undefiled hands, serving hands, ministering hands, and busy hands. What about your hands? Do you employ your hands in rendering diligent service in the plan of God? But not only did he focus on their ears, on their hearing, and on their diligent ministry and service and acts of obedience by focusing on the thumb of the right hand of Aaron and his sons, but also he focused attention on their feet, the right foot, the big toe rather, on their right foot, dedicating their feet to walking in the way of God's precepts, walking in the Spirit, walking in the light, walking in obedience, walking in love, walking in humility, walking in God's commandments, walking in righteousness. We should pursue this kind of walk each and every day. The ritual appears to have been used to teach them that they could neither hear, work, nor walk profitably, uprightly, and well-pleasing in the sight of God without this application of the blood of the sacrifice. Let us be mindful this week of the marvelous gifts that God has endowed us with. Let us utilize to the best of our ability to the blessing of hearing what God has to say and ordering our lives by his divine message of truth each day. Let us devote our hands to being busy in service in the kingdom of God, making a difference in the world. Jesus said, whosoever will be greatest among you, let him be your servant. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, to be a servant, and to give his life a ransom for many. Let us each day commit ourselves to walking in the pathway of duty, to walking uprightly, to walking in the light each and every day of our lives. Think about your ears and what sounds and what messages you invite into your heart through the ear gate. Think about your hands and the service you can render in the honor and glory of God and for the benefit of your fellow man. And think about the commitment to use your feet to walk in the light and to walk uprightly. We should always keep these things in mind. Now, perhaps you have not been walking uprightly as you should. Perhaps you've been walking in darkness. Perhaps you've been walking in mischief. Perhaps you've been walking in unfaithfulness. Perhaps you've not been utilizing your hands in the service of God as you should. You can be rededicated, reconsecrated this evening, that you might take full advantage of the opportunities you have to hear what God has to say and to do what God will have you to do and to walk like the Lord would have you to walk. If you're here and you need to rededicate, reconsecrate your life for the Master, we ask you to do it now as we together stand.